listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
All right, we're back now, finishing up this clip by Senator McCarthy's response to ex-President Truman's attack upon the work of the committee in 1953. And let's finish up here with this.
I refuse to answer Fifth Amendment. Well, to get rid of a communist, handling secret material is, of course, important. But it is even more important discover how a communist could hold a job handling secrets which affected the lives and deaths of 160 million American people for 10, 15, 20 years. So we went into that. So we called the man on the misnamed loyalty board. I think their testimony gives perhaps as clearly as any other the reason why the Truman Democrat administration was crawling with communists. The secretary of the loyalty board was asked the question of why they did not call witnesses whom the FBI could furnish. The answer, listen to this, that was not our practice, Mr. Senator.
That was a good answer, wasn't it, huh? What you're saying here then is really what's being reflected now. Now you compare the Democratic Party with the Democratic Party then and the Republican Party, both of them. The Democratic Party, out-and-out communist, there's no question about it. The Republican Party, much more smooth, much more diverse, if you will, in playing the game of, quote, loyal opposition. And it is a game. It's nothing more, nothing less than a joke. Because it was the Republicans, when the time came to vote to censure McCarthy, also who gave in. Some of the people he had thought he could count on to defend him and vote for him were those that betrayed him. It's just like, well, it's like what happened to Christ. The same thing in very, very basic terms. I'm not equating the two, but let's face it. You see the same pattern. Anybody who stands up and becomes a sacrificial lamb for the cause, for the truth, will be forever, you know, reviled and smeared and vilified and demonized, and that's the reason. Now you're seeing how what was going on then with the Truman administration, you can substitute the Clinton administration of the 1990s. You can substitute the Bush administration, the Reagan administration, the Ford administration, the Nixon administration, the Obama administration, and the Trump administration. You can substitute all of them. The enemy within is embedded in this regime because they're able to do so through media cover-up, media control, government control, academic circles, and the entire, you know, coterie of the hidden kingdoms the Bible speaks of, you know, in Zechariah. We can see it, yes, in the churches as well. So there was, at one time, in the World Council of Churches, what was known as the Federal Council of Churches. Well, it became so stigmatized because of its reputation of siding with communist causes, Communist Party position, that it had to reorganize and change the name to the National Council of Churches. You know, similarly, we've seen the same thing happen in other venues of American life. Change here those two segments because as, you know, McCarthy was giving accreditation to our servicemen then who were being killed because of communist traitors within who were directly linked to the Soviet Union, Harry Dexter White, chief among them, we have the same thing today. It's the same pattern. It's the same overseers of communism and the same betrayal, despite the rhetoric. That's important. Give these veterans and their families the truth. That's what they supposedly fought for, and that apparently is what they died for. That's too important to pass up, folks. Now, I want to dovetail this. Before we take your calls, hang on, folks. Bear with me. We have the whole 2 hours. I want to play another segment of the Dan Smoot Report, who dealt in the 1960s, this case, with Adlai, or as Joe would say, Alger Stevenson, you know, who was paramount with the San Francisco conference that created the United Nations, another communist invention to disarm the world as man's best last hope for peace on earth. That was the mantra they gave us, and that is still the mantra today of the United Nations disarmament, the United Nations World for Peace movement. All right, so Dan Smoot's talking about Stevenson, Adlai Stevenson, coming to Dallas after these things that went on in Africa, the massacre in the Congo of Christians under the Kennedy administration. Although Kennedy himself probably didn't really know much about what was going on, as much as we think. You had Stevenson, you had a whole bunch of others, Sorensen, all of these others who ran the administration, and the United Nations was knee-deep in this criminal conspiracy to kill the Christians under the leadership of Moise Tshombe, the leader in Katanga. Many of you may remember Katanga province of the Congo. He was trying to be loyal to the United States and the West. And in turn, he got the bullet. Even ambulances, Red Cross ambulances, were shot up by UN planes. So here's Adlai Stevenson, a report on what Stevenson represented in this Kennedy administration. Mind you, Adlai Stevenson ran for president twice against Eisenhower. What a choice on the Republican Democrat side. And his grandfather was one of those involved, apparently, with Abraham Lincoln's presidency in Illinois. So, folks, the more things change, the more they remain the same. There's nothing new under the sun. Let's see if we can bring up now, prior to the break, the Dan Smoot Report from the 1960s on Adlai Stevenson comes to Dallas right now.
He and I worked together as itinerant farmhands for about 6 weeks one summer. I was a boy of 15, and Sandy was a man in his middle 40s. Hence, I always paid him the respect that a man was due from a boy in those backward, isolationist, non-progressive days between the two great wars. But a few of the other field hands made fun of Sandy. There was a great deal of cruelty in some of the practical jokes they played on him. It is still painful to recall the last time I saw Sandy, walking down the road with no place to go, carrying all his worldly goods in a worn and torn cardboard suitcase, crying like a child. This was the end result of the last practical joke at Sandy's expense. Sandy stood in awe of the foreman. A couple of the boys, pretending friendly concern, told him how to get on the good side of the boss. Put in a little free time now and then, doing work he wasn't told to do. That would show the boss he was interested and it would make a good impression. Sandy was willing, but he couldn't think of anything to do. The boys helped him out. Go down to the gear room next Sunday and fix up all the broken harness. That'll make a hit with the boss. Sandy went, but he couldn't find any broken harness. The boys helped him again. Break some, they advised him, so as you have some to fix. Sandy did. He ripped open a dozen expensive mule collars, cut up a bunch of Hanes straps, and mutilated several pairs of lines, and then set to work trying to mend them. The boss caught him and fired him. Sandy packed up and left, homeless and jobless, and, as I said, crying like a child. I try to keep Sandy Buckman out of my memory. The thought of him, after more than 30 years, still puts a lump in my throat. but he comes inexorably to mind every time I hear someone like Adlai Stevenson talk about the United Nations. Mr. Stevenson says that if we did not have a UN, we would have to invent one, because the UN is indispensable to world peace. Mr. Stevenson and others like him used to concentrate on Palestine when talking about peacemaking accomplishments of the UN. Every time there was an upsurge of criticism of the UN, the Councils on World Affairs, the American Association for the United Nations, and other semi-official affiliates of the Council on Foreign Relations would stage meetings throughout the nation featuring prominent personalities talking about how the UN stopped a war in Palestine and thus averted a world catastrophe. Now that is the same line of thinking that got poor old Sandy Buckman fired. There was not any harness broken to be fixed, but Sandy cut up a few pieces so that he'd have some to fix. There was not any Palestine war to stop, but UN statesmen made one when they carved the modern state of Israel out of the heart of the Arab homeland. This has given them a peacemaking job to work on perpetually. Anytime they need another UN peacemaking accomplishment, some UN official can make an expensive New York-Israeli round trip, press releases are issued, resolutions are introduced into the General Assembly, and another war is stopped by what Mr. Stevenson calls a dialogue in the United Nations. In recent months, UN spokesmen have been holding the ever-ready Palestine problem in reserve for needy times. Nowadays, they talk about the UN peacemaking accomplishments in the Belgian Congo. That's what Mr. Stevenson stressed recently in Dallas. The Congo is another Sandy Buckman-type operation. Things were going as well in the Belgian Congo as mortal men had any right to expect. UN pressures forced the Belgians to get out and leave the country in the hands of people not yet qualified to govern themselves. The resulting bloody mess will give UN peacemakers something to meddle in until the last American dollar is squandered. The UN officials said they wanted self-determination in the Congo, but when pro-Western Katanga tried to preserve law and order by asserting self-determination, UN peacemakers ravaged the country with bestial violence. When the UN creates a problem, it does not want anyone else solving it. If folks are permitted to solve problems which the UN creates for them, there might not be enough unsolved problems for UN officials to intervene in and have dialogues about. A Sandy Buckman would understand that, all except the dialogue part. When people with differing views talked about something, Sandy used to say they were arguing. Mr. Stevenson says they're having a dialogue. But that's a minor point that Sandy could get around or live with. As I said, I don't like to think about Sandy Buckman, but he has been much on my mind since Mr. Stevenson came to Dallas. I wish I knew where Sandy is. The United Nations could use him. On October 23rd, the United States Day Committee held a meeting in the Dallas Memorial Auditorium Theater. Edwin A. Walker spoke, criticizing the United Nations, advocating restoration of a free and independent American Republic. None of the news reporting media gave the meeting advance publicity. By word of mouth and distribution of handbills, the committee reached enough people to get an audience of about 1,200. The meeting was not broadcast. Press coverage was perfunctory. The next night, Adlai Stevenson made a United Nations Day speech in the same place, to an audience of about 1,700. His visit was given an enormous amount of advance publicity by news reporting media. His speech was televised live at prime early evening time, free. Not all of the 1,700 people who went to hear Mr. Stevenson were jubilant about him and his message. Inside the theater, there were people who have a dim view of Mr. Stevenson and the United Nations. Outside, a crowd of such people had gathered carrying placards to let Mr. Stevenson know their sentiments. There was also a crowd of pro-Stevenson pickets outside, jeering and insulting the anti-Stevenson people. While under police escort from the meeting hall to his car, Stevenson suddenly turned and strode toward a picketing group, saying, "Let's see what's wrong with these people." He walked directly toward a lady carrying an anti-Stevenson placard. Someone in the crowd yelled, "Put down the sign!" The lady obediently lowered hers just in time to bump Mr. Stevenson on the head. 4 days later, the affair was still making banner headlines on the front pages of both Dallas newspapers, and the civic leaders of Dallas were still groveling extravagantly. They had sent wires of apology to Mr. Stevenson and to President Kennedy. The city council was deliberating the solemn question of sending formal official apologies. Mayor Earl Cabell had made several pronouncements about the extremists who had done this thing, saying they were the same group of radicals who had voted in the last election to reject the mayor's proposed public housing. Cabell even hinted darkly that there ought to be a law against people who disliked public housing in the United Nations. In short, the liberals of Dallas were determined to make such clamor that the fear of being branded hate mongers and crackpots would forever silence all who would criticize the United Nations or any other cause or institution that is a sacred cow of liberalism. By doing this, our liberal leaders are compounding the grievance which caused the demonstration against Stevenson in the first place. The people who picketed Stevenson were not wild-eyed ignoramuses. The ignoramuses were inside applauding what Stevenson said. I say this in kindness. I am too kind to believe that there are more than 100 people in Dallas, Texas, who would applaud Adlai Stevenson if they were not ignorant of what the man has done, what he proposes to do, what he symbolizes. Adlai Stevenson has heavy responsibility for the betrayal of American honor and of American security interests at the Bay of Pigs tragedy. He advocates surrender of American sovereignty to the United Nations. He boasts about the UN Congo operation, which was financed with money confiscated from American wage earners, and which brings a feeling of hot shame to every American patriot who knows the truth about what the UN did with our money in the Congo. Stevenson is a foremost symbol of the totalitarian liberalism which plunders the American people of the fruits of their own labor for causes and programs harmful to their republic. With it all, he has built a reputation as a wit by making fun of well-informed Americans who know what he is and what he stands for. Most of the people who picketed Stevenson know the truth about the man. They resented his speech and the fact that he made it in a building erected as a memorial to Dallasites who fought and died for their country. They resented the worshipful treatment given him by civic leaders who scorn or ignore prominent persons of opposite view. They resented the fact that men like Stevenson roam the country at taxpayers' expense to advocate policies which are ruinous to our nation. Most of all, they resented the fact that men like Stevenson are freely given all the best facilities of radio, television, and the press to express their views, while the great body of educated and reputable citizens of opposing view are denied the means of telling the truth. Excuse me. Picketing and demonstrating are poor means of expression, which I have never approved. The way to counter the harm that a man like Stevenson does is not to wave signs at him, but to reach others with facts which will expose the fallacy of his views. But how can this be done when those who have the facts are denied means of public expression even remotely comparable to the means universally and perpetually available to Stevenson and his kind? Goodbye. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan and Joe and others as well. This program was intended to really give some meditation to the thoughts concerning these men and women now who are in the armed services of this government. I won't say this country, but I will say this regime that is really part of an international United Nations cabal to bring about that ultimate peace that the UN has always sought to bring about, and that is peace of the graveyard, the peace that only Satan, Lucifer coming as Jesus, can bring to the world. And they've done that since 1945. Let's not forget that people like Stevenson and Dexter White and others were all basically walking arm in arm to support the communist institution of the UN. Come right back, and I'll take your calls. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Saturday, as we are always on Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. on Central Time. Today is the 9th of November, and we're on Armistice Day weekend, Veterans Day weekend, as it has been renamed. We'll take your calls now at 800-313-9443. Any thoughts on what we have presented to you? Many of you are veterans. We have some listeners who call in occasionally and who have found out the hard way by, you know, being in the service, finding out what it was all about, who we were serving, and how we're actually seeing the destruction of what is left of what is called America. So if you'd like to call in, you do so as well. Let me start off with Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark. You're on the program.
Ah, hello. Let me, all right, Paul,
thanks,
get back.
Thanks for waiting.
Hello. Nice to hear you. I didn't catch your response to what Erwin Schiff may have said about his father, and I can't do what he did, because my understanding is Erwin Schiff basically had the world laid out before him, and he basically, with the way, I don't think he was expecting to have happen to him what wound up happening, in the same way that Rachel Corrie did not mean to become a martyr by standing in front of a bulldozer, but he got they both got bulldozed, in one more literally and more figuratively. But I was wondering, what did Erwin Schiff say? Did Erwin Schiff say something about his father and the crimes, the evils that his father did. Because it's not just at FDR, if I understand correctly from what I remember of the creature from Jekyll Island, FDR did not merely craft to put the blame on the military commanders of the Pearl Harbor naval base that were intentionally left in the dark. He also was involved in basically dragging America into the Great War that then became World War One by manipulating us into bailing out Britain and France that had effectively lost the war. Is my assessment basically correct?
Well, I don't know. I really can't say because I knew Irwin Schiff personally. This is what I was saying last week. As far as any investigation to what was purportedly said or what he said about it at any time in his life, particularly the end of his life, I don't know. I can't say with any degree of accuracy. All I know is I knew the man personally. We used to get together quite frequently, Irwin Schiff, along with a guy named Andrew Melichinsky. I don't know if you knew him, but Andrew Melichinsky was a friend of Irwin Schiff's. He was a constitutional activist from Connecticut as well. So all I can say is, yes, he did get in the end, Irwin Schiff did get perhaps an unexpected, fate in that it killed him. I mean, eventually it killed him because of his fight against an illegal and unjust tax system. But I do believe he was a very sincere man, and he had a change of heart over the years, yes.
Well, like I say, so you don't really know if he...
I don't.
Basically
I don't
saw the sins of his father and said, you know, Ezekiel 18, the sins of the father shall not... The sins of the father will be visited, the Greek word, the Hebrew word there, pekad, like Jean-Luc Picard, is to visit. Yeah. The sins of the father will be visited on the son, and... Irwin Schiff, I think are we in agreement that basically, had he played along with this scam, he would have had the wealth of the world, and it would have cost him his immortal soul. So what became of his immortal soul is between him and the Creator. But the thing is that the thing is that basically he said, no, I can't go along with this. And so basically neither of them expected to be bulldozed the way they did. But they both, Rachel Corrie and Irwin Schiff, both got abused and mistreated for doing nothing more than saying there's a moral standard here that you're not living by. So the thing I try to get across to people, the synagogue of Satan, according to Christ himself, is not Jewish. And it's like I was listening to these people say that Zionism, when they say Zionism, they really mean Judaism. It's like, no, we mean that I'm against the corruption of all religion, including the Christian religion, that has been twisted into something that, quite frankly, the land belongs to God, and he didn't give it to Khazarian Talmudists who to this day persist in rejecting the Messiah.
Right. Okay, no, Mark.
Right? Anyway, that's a whole different subject.
But
the thing is, Irwin Schiff was against this, so the thing is, whatever he knew of his father's sins and transgressions in terms of Jacob Schiff, as I understand it, was responsible for basically setting up what became World War One, and the fraudulent monetary system that funded that, quite frankly, what we got snookered into was not a just war. It was an unjust war, and vilification is...
Yeah,
anyway,
right. You pretty much summed it up, Mark. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
thank
very
you.
Good. And like I said, I can't amplify upon what you said. All I can just say is what I know, and otherwise I'll get myself into trouble. Thank you.
I understand. God bless you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Chance in West Virginia is coming up next. Chance, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Rick. Another exceptional show. Didn't Stevenson and Kefauver run against Eisenhower and Nixon in the presidential election, I believe?
Yeah, Kefauver did. And, there's quite a bit about Kefauver that I haven't looked into. I know Dan Smoot did a report on his medicine, so-called medicine at the time. It was a political socialist medicine, but I can't say that much about him at this point. All I can say is Adlai Stevenson is someone I've studied more readily. And as far as I'm concerned, Stevenson was
the next thing to a Soviet asset, if you will. Not an agent, but an actual asset like Harry Hopkins was, you know, under Roosevelt,
yeah, and,
you see.
And Stevenson goes back from a long line of politicians in his family.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make before I get to the... Before I get to my point, don't be too surprised if you see UN mercenary forces in the very near future on our soil. That's what it appears to be if history repeats itself, Rick. Rick, the reason why I called is about the Katyn massacre. Do you notice people don't know much about it because our damnable media, damnable Hollywood, won't make a movie about those brave Polish soldiers. People don't know how brave they were. They were tortured. They were starved. They were shot, and yet they didn't. You couldn't break them. You couldn't. They couldn't be broken until they finally murdered them. That's how patriotic and self-sacrificing those Polish people were. And do you remember, Rick, in early 2010, I believe it was, the plane crash with the president of Poland, and it was close to 100 public high officials, Polish high officials.
I do remember that plane crash.
Yeah,
yes,
and how they covered that, and that was on the 70th anniversary of the Katyn massacre. And
that's right. You're absolutely right, Chance. Wow.
Yes.
You got a good,
and you know what else? You know what else, Rick? The Polish photographer who went to the scene to photograph found no baggage, no bodies, and shortly thereafter he was found murdered. And that was on the 70th anniversary of the Katyn Forest massacre. Those people were so brave. They don't want us to know how brave they were. Americans should take note of that.
The UN raids on Katangan province in the Congo when the plane that was coming back, I believe there was more than one plane, but it may have been just one, with all of the files, all of the documents, all of the photographs of what the UN did to the vehicles, the people, the civilians in Katanga, because they didn't want to be part of a Soviet bloc. They wanted to be pro-Western. All of that was destroyed in a plane crash. Do you remember that, reading about that?
Oh, yeah. There's another example. This is why I'm saying don't be too surprised if UN mercenary forces in the very near future are heading for our soil to manage the American people. I'm pretty much convinced.
We already have many of them here, Chance. We have a number of troops, asset troops, on American soil now in facilities throughout this country, from what I've been told by people who are in the military, by the way. Some of them, one of them in particular, was in the special ops, and they're here to prevent chaos and confusion, to preserve order. Now, we know what that means. The Pentagon has already issued statements to that effect.
And on the other hand, this is why you see all the craziness escalating, the Antifa violence. They want to get people in some kind of quote-unquote revolutionary mode so they could step right in and start gunning them down, maybe. This is what I'm thinking. This is why you see the crazy sexual antics going on, the violent Antifa mobs. They're trying to get on the last nerve of the decent American people.
What I see here, now this is what I've been seeing, is you probably remember Alexander Dugin and what he said would happen to America in the future. This is the Russian activist with these military ops. You're seeing the polarization of the races. You're seeing the Trump camp, the Democratic camp, and this is how this administration fits right into this matrix. You say, I can see it. I can see it happening where there is a deliberate, intentional pattern of attempting to bring America to that civil war status again. And it's not going to be along just the Mason-Dixon line, you see?
You're right.
Okay, thank you, Chan, for your brilliant observation.
The communists have showed their hand, Rick.
They've never disappeared. Contrary to what George Herbert Walker Bush once said, communism is dead.
Hello. Okay, God bless you now, Rick.
Thank you. The 30th anniversary, is it, of the taking down of the Berlin Wall at this time as well? And what do you see? An occasional article in the paper about how bad communism is. But you haven't heard the end of the Holocaust and the Holocaust theologians who continue to milk that cow. 1-800-313-9443 is our number. Want to hear from some of you now while we still have time. Art in Philly is calling in today, to my surprise. Art, welcome aboard.
Nice to be back. How you doing, Rick?
Good. How long can you stay? I was under the presumption that you would not be on today as guest. That's why I said you weren't going to be on. Are you here to stay, or are you just calling
in? I'm here to stay.
Good. So then people can react to us both and can continue to call in. I don't know if you listened to the programs and the clips that we ran, but, you know, we started out with the Venezia and the uprising that took place there and the ensuing slaughter by the Soviet Red Army, the NKVD agents. You heard the Truman record of treason and communist infiltration. That brings to mind the Missouri Cosa Nostra mob and the story by Dan Smoot about Stevenson coming to Dallas and this whole business of a pattern, you know, of betrayal in America in the whole last century. Any comments or thoughts?
Yes. First of all, with Veterans Day coming up, I want to thank all the veterans there. My father's brother was buried at a veterans cemetery early this morning, and appreciate everybody's service and what they've done for this country. Now, with respect to, let's start with McCarthy. I sent you information showing that Truman rose to power through his mob boss, Tom Pendergast, and that's how he came up through the Kansas City rackets. And we even see a legacy of that today was Pendergast had the concrete business, you know, ReadyMix, which is a company called CEMEX, C-E-M-E-X. And if you look right now, you know, when communities are being built, you know, a lot of CEMEX businesses are in there. So that's how the mob's actually getting into our communities all over the country. So that is a direct outcome of what Truman did. The other thing, obviously, that McCarthy said was the fact that, over a billion people are under the rule of the communists as a result of his inactions during the end of, you know, after the end of World War II. But at the same time, realized the Russians were so powerful at the end of World War II, they took over Manchuria in like 30 days. That's an area the size of Western Europe. So the U.S. Army could not, defenses would not be able to stand up against the Russians in Manchuria. They would have lost. So that's, you can't always blame Truman for the full extent of it.
He was just part of it, but that was the immediate aftermath of the World War II era and the Roosevelt policy. We again could get into the Eisenhower administration and how it intentionally, deliberately, and with malice aforethought did just about all that it could do to promote communist enslavement and argue against any kind of victory in the Hungarian uprising or an end to aid. We didn't know. The people, Americans, didn't know that through these lending institutions, we were actually financing the Soviet occupation of Europe. And most people were totally unaware of that, Art, and they're still unaware of it. And that's why we're here, to bring the truth to the people.
Right. And most people don't realize, and we're still learning ourselves, is the extent of Operation Mockingbird and the control of the media, that it was directly tied in with what they call the pioneers of media, which were all the broadcasters out of the southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey area, that also migrated later into California. And that they were nothing but a front for, I wouldn't say nothing, but they were fronted in a major way by the CIA to basically disinform the American people ever since the creation of television. And that's something that needs to be further understood and explained to everybody. You know, we can look at communist cash.
Well, the funny thing is now, it's at that end game where, you know, just about at the end of the road here with this cabal and this Roman empireism, where the average person through this Trump phenomenon, as it's called, can see the evil of the media, can see the Brian Williams, you know, Lion Brian, we used to call him for years, and Lying Lester, and all of the others going back to the days of Eric the Red Severide and those people there, Roger Mudd, and a whole host of others on CBS, NBC, ABC. They were all in the know, because if they didn't know, then they would be just blissfully ignorant. People in the media at that level of network control are all too aware of who their bosses are, who writes the script, and what they can and cannot say. I found that to be the case through, you know, one in particular who was very much involved in the Right to Life movement here in Rhode Island, and she said that she worked as an assistant to Walter Cronkite years before in CBS. It was just her job. And, you know, she knew that the news that was being read was spoon-fed to Cronkite, and of course a lot of it he obviously wrote himself, and Cronkite himself was a World War II correspondent for the media on the radio, and admitted, this is a direct attributable quote to him. He says, as correspondent for CBS Radio, I believe it was, I do everything I can to present the Soviet Union in a favorable light in the media and the Germans as in a negative light. He made that statement, to present the Soviet Union in a positive light. Now, this is during the years of the war, and after the war, to present them as just an enemy in a Cold War situation, which means a never-ending checkmate war across the globe, which is exactly why they created NATO, they created CETO, they created all of these other adjunct, international organizations to allegedly fight communism, the very communism they created. And this is the farce. This is the farce that was created. They don't teach that in school. If they did, they'd lose their professorships, as, Matt Johnson found out, you know?
Right. I wanted to comment in schools. All the way down to the librarians and, the kids' schools, K through 12, you got the communists there making sure they filter out, any information about, the Jewish community and what they've done with Eastern Europe and how they, were a major player, for communism in our country. So they keep that out. But they don't keep the smut out anymore. They let that come through. Now, I wanted to bring up one other point. There's it's called the Holocaust Awareness Museum Education Center. Its website is hamec.org. So this November 16th, they're having a fundraiser in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, at the Congregation Adis Jeshurun, 7763 Old York Road. And you can look it up on the website. And here we have two congressmen, Brendan Boyle and Brian Fitzpatrick, are going to go over there and celebrate the Holocaust. Okay? Somehow they don't seem to understand that they're celebrating it at an organization where I actually was there, when they had Nancy Barr there from the Anti-Defamation League saying, we got to go after everybody. And that happened in September. So here they're going to the same group of people that are basically backing up the ADL. It's an absolute atrocity that we have congressmen from Pennsylvania, going to a facility. These people ought to be looking at what they're doing is right along the lines of treason.
That's the real treason that is being committed by both the White House and the Congress, that both parties are playing, checkmate to this ludicrous one-world global army that they're engaged in, fighting Ukraine, fighting Russia, fighting the old wars over and over and over again. That is treason, if not in violation of just the letter of the law, the spirit of the law of the land. It is betraying freedom. What did Truman do? What did Eisenhower do? What did Roosevelt do at Pearl Harbor? Those were acts of treason. Tom Kimmel, who we're going to have back on the show next month, I hope, Tom Kimmel has spoken that language in no uncertain terms. This is treason, what they did. And what are the Democrats concerned about? Burying the hatchet of their own treason and resurrecting the idea of treason by certain Republicans. And, it's farcical.
Right. So I'm reading one sentence out of this website. Sure. And it says, "Hey, Mac, his mission is to use the lessons of the Holocaust to teach about the terrible consequences of hatred and bigotry."
Yes.
What a, you know, I mean, what a hypocrisy that is. You know, first of all,
isn't
you know,
it?
What, yeah, what about their Holocaust with all the nuclear weapons they have over there in Israel, okay? What about their assassination and the destruction of the Palestinian people? You know, what about their disinformation in the American media and the financial ruin that they're bringing this country down to? You know, somehow that's not a Holocaust. And the Holodomor over in, you know, basically the Ukraine. You know, we're not getting educated about that, but we certainly got to get educated about the Holocaust and what happened to the Jewish people in World War II. By the way, I think Eisenhower said there was only 1 million people that lost their lives. It wasn't 6 million people. That was a fallacy that came up after the World War II.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you're right. And you know, speaking of media corruption, you certainly, I'm sure, have heard of the ABC TV news anchor, Amy Robach, who was caught right on hot mic saying that the network spiked the Jeffrey Epstein bombshell November 20th. Here we are. Right. November 6th of 2019. ABC admitted it. She did personally on hot mic. She was caught. Right. I mean, how propitious this is that some of them are too braggadocious to know better. But she basically claimed the higher-ups at ABC told her to kill the story that could have exposed the now deceased sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and his associates 3 years ago, but they wouldn't do it. Disney-owned corporation. Trust the media?
Smoke alarm just went off by accident.
Oh, I thought it was teacher. You attend to that. All right. You can pot him down right now for now, Ken. The media corruption is just amazing. It's so blatant. It's so in your face. And, you know, this is why when McCarthy was investigating all of this treason, the most important aspect of it was not just the government, but infiltration of the media itself by Soviet apologists, Soviet agents, provocateurs, and the like. And this is typical of what the media have done. That's why this fake investigation is just that, fake. If they were investigating the White House on these charges leading up to, you know, impeachment for reasons of treason, let's say, they'd have to be indicting themselves, wouldn't they? Well, of course. It's a rude and crude bunch of cowards and crackpots and traitors in Washington, all of them, except perhaps a couple, in my estimation, are guilty of this treason. So, you know, here we've got people who want to come forth, who want to name Epstein and associates like Dershowitz and so on and so forth of these crimes, and yet they're not permitted airtime because of who and what controls the media, the Kenites, the sons and daughters of Cain, and that lineage who control all of the political and all of the economic and all of the academic, Hollywood, of course, included, and yes, indeed, all of the religious institutions, particularly the 501c3 churches. Folks, they have a lot to answer for. The churches are totally silent when it comes to this sort of thing. Now you see many of them closing their doors. They're going to be closing more than their doors and their pulpits because they're not leading the flock. They're not guiding the sheep. These are false shepherds and false teachers and false professors. 1-800-313-9443. If you'd like to join Art and myself on what we have talked about today, and I believe Art is back, but I also want to go to Lark in Texas and then Barb. Come on up, Lark. Hello, Lark. Art, you can join in anytime.
I'm here.
Sure will. All right. We'll be patient, Ken. You get the guys and the gals on the phone lines, and we'll take them.
Am I there?
All right, here he comes. Yes. Back again.
Okay. Well, just a gentle reminder. First of all, I want to recommend an article for you and the listeners. It's simply called The Rise of Socialism by Ray Peach, P-E-A-C-H.
Right.
And it can be found at a website called Right Side News.
Yes.
But I also want to remind you that, you know, I hear the music.
Okay.
Want me to wait?
That's okay. Yes, the music plays. That means it's break time. We'll come right back to you, Lark, and Barb in Florida, and updates from her as well as you folks. We'll return. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, we're back now. We have Lark on the phone lines, and Lark, pardon us, but you have time now to go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. And I especially want Art to hear this, okay, but for everyone out there, you know, before 9/11, they had in the works something called the Department of Homeland Security, and they had hired as consultants from the former Soviet Union, Yevgeny Primakov, and from East Germany, the East German Stasi, Marcus Wolf as consultants for this thing. And then with the creation of the, in the aftermath of 9/11, we had the Department of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and all this other nonsense. But here's the thing, whereas that Patriot Act promotes the idea under communitarian law enforcement of see something, say something, the culture otherwise in America is quite different. It's basically see nothing, say nothing, do nothing. And this is exemplified by two long-standing currents in American life. One is called careerism, and the other is called credentialism. They're easy to define. One's about career growth, promotion, success, you know, being the good corporate citizen that is promotable in any kind of an organization, which a corporation in and of itself is a collectivist entity. And the credentials, of course, is what happens when you, you know, go through high school and you, you know, go through the international baccalaureate system and then through the university and so forth. Okay, this is basically social engineering of the people themselves. And so when I say that, and others have said that communism and capitalism have both been rebranded as communitarianism, it's borne out by really a lot of facts.
Yeah.
So many, it's just impossible to say. But what I mean to say this is this, in conclusion. The people in America who today, who are true blue, American patriots, flag-waving, you know, loyal, I mean, these people do not realize that they have been socially engineered too, every bit as much as people within academia and in government who, you know, they like government because after all, their palms are getting greased by, you know, Big Brother and, you know, Uncle Sam and all these other things. As we know, people that work within so-called government, because frankly, if we had an honest discussion about it, government no longer exists. Because the truth is it's what exists is mind control. And what we have today in its place is a system of governance or management, to scientific dictatorship of the community.
Well said, Lark. We're out of time. Oh, Lark, we're just about out of time. I want to squeeze one more in. Art,
right.
I think, has heard this as well. But you made a good point here, and I'm glad you called to make that point. Art, are you there now?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you heard what Lark said. Any response?
I think it was well said, and I think he's right on the money.
He is, yes. All right, Lark, thank you. I'm sorry we don't have more time. But let me bring in Barb now before we run out of the time. Barb, in 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, gentlemen.
Yes.
Dr. Latson, I guess he's a doctor, the principal, was fired. And
yep.
If anybody
yep.
would like to see it, I'll call back next week with the rest of it. But
sure.
They can go to palmbeachschools.org. And then the menu, and then the school board, and then board meetings, and then
okay.
There's two recordings, and you do the one on the right, which is the second one, and the whole presentation
we'll
of those of us that defended him, you know, was
okay.
was on there.
Barb, next week we'll bring it up. Out
okay.
of time. Thank you all for listening. Thank
okay.
you, Art.
Thank
you have
you.
A good weekend. You bet. Folks, goodbye, and God bless.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.